Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's the Nerd News Desk, and it's Tuesday. Had a long weekend, enjoyed it. It's nice to have some time off. I actually went out of town, had an interesting weekend, but that'll be a story for another day. Today on the show, I'm finally going to bust open this Walmart Soundwave reissue. And I actually have my original Soundwave. This is my original G1 I had as a kid. And we are going to compare those today because I still haven't opened this. I've had it for months and months and months, and I've never opened it. And then along with that, I do have the cassettes. And then I do have the masterpiece that we can compare to also, quickly. So we will do that in a little bit because I do want to get it opened and take a look at it because I've had it for a long time and haven't done anything with it. But today we're also going to talk about some of the new comics coming out this week. And we're going to talk a little bit about laptops. So, I don't know if it was a year ago, six months, eight months ago, whatever it was, I did a review of an Evo laptop, an 11-inch, just basic, very entry-level, basic laptop. And I get feedback on it all the time. People asking, hey, can I play Fortnite on this? Is this good for playing games? Can I do video editing on it? And it's really, it is not a good laptop for that. So people keep asking, well, what's a good laptop? What's a good thing to have? What's a good, cheap, basic, everyday laptop that can just do a bunch of stuff? And I know that cheap is a relative term. For some people, cheap is, they want a $100 laptop, and good luck finding something for $100. I mean, you can check pawn shops, you can check Facebook Marketplace, maybe find someone around you. If you know a guy who happens to find laptops that just happen to fall off the back of a truck somewhere, then maybe you can get a decent one for $100. Highly unlikely, though. But generally speaking, a cheap laptop, you're looking at about $300. And that's really going to be the ballpark area you're going to need to look for buying a laptop. Now is a good time because of Black Friday and all the different sales and things that are going on. And so there are some laptops to look out for. But for me, for my kind of everyday cheap laptop that I carry around, I have an Acer Swift. I've got some stickers on there. This one is thanks to my son because he says that guy looks like a Tron guy. So therefore, I needed to have him. He's a big Fortnite fan. Alterna Comics, courtesy of them, sent these supporting local comic shops. I always put stickers on my computers. Drives my wife crazy. She hates them. But this is a thin, lightweight laptop. It's a decent size. This is the Acer Swift 1SF114. It's a good, decent size screen here. It's also known as the Swift 1. It's the screen being as good as it is one of those things that will catch your eye immediately comparing it to other cheap laptops. It has, you know, wide viewing angles. A lot of cheap laptops, you have to look like directly at them. If they're a little down, they're a little up, they're a little to the side, then it starts getting washed out, or it can even flip completely negative. Really, really cheap ones are going to be so bad that when you look at it with both your eyes, one eye is going to be good, and then the other eye is going to start losing the image because of how focused those cheap panels have to be. This is a nice, big, small bezel screen, and it's wide viewing angles. It gets bright. It gets a lot of color. It's nice. You can see here it's got huge trackpad for moving around on. Really a nice trackpad. It does tap, it does click, so you can do that on it. Good keyboard. I know a lot of people don't like these, you know, chiclet style keys, but that's what you're going to get on a thin laptop, especially one in the $300 range. And this is a good general use, all-purpose laptop. You know, people always ask, well, can I play Fortnite on it? Well, you can. You kind of want to disable all the textures, disable the shadows, put it on the absolute lowest resolution, and you can play it, but it's not a great experience. Something like Roblox, if you've got younger kids, it'll run on this just fine. But this itself, if you're looking for a laptop that, you know, a couple hundred bucks, And now with Black Friday, with sales, with you know, all sorts of deals, Cyber Monday, and let's face it, all of these deals, people always say, well, what about Black Friday? What about Cyber Monday? Yeah, you get great deals then, but I mean, to be completely honest, those deals started the day after Halloween, and they're going to run all the way through the second week of January. So it's not like it used to be where you got to jump on something right away. In fact, I was looking at a laptop this weekend. Someone had asked me about one at Office Depot, and it was a price of, I want to say it was like $369 or something like that for Black Friday. And I go, well, that's a, you know, pretty decent price, whatever. Black Friday comes, Cyber Monday comes. Today, Tuesday, the day after Cyber Monday, it has dropped to $299. So it's actually $70 less than it was for Black Friday. And I think even then it was $20, $30 less than the normal price. So it's a better deal waiting for not Black Friday or Cyber Monday, because I think not a lot of people are jumping on the deals the way they used to. But I digress. The point being, there's still great deals to be had, even if you missed the big sales of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And this is one to watch out for. The Acer Swift One. Like I said, it's a good screen. It's a good... I guess it's important to note that this is the version with the Intel Silver processor. The N5000 or something like that. Which is a decent processor. It's not, there's a version of this with a Celeron processor, and that's not the one you want. You want to make sure you get the one with the Silver. The Silver processor, it's not great. It's not going to be as good as like an i7, of course. But for an everyday use, a thin, low power, long battery life, it can do Word, it can surf the web, it can watch Netflix and YouTube. It is a good, all-purpose, thin, long battery. You've got USB 3, you've got USB-C, you've got HDMI out, you've got a memory card slot. You know, you've got all the ports that you're going to need on something like this. And for being the price that it is, this is a good everyday computer to just carry around. And this is, for the most part, my... I wouldn't say my daily driver, but this is my... This is the one that I carry around with me. This is the one when I'm sitting in my easy chair watching TV. A lot of times I'm using this one. My main computer, like the one I'm recording on right now, this is the Dell Inspiron 15 7000 series gaming computer. It's got a GeForce GTX 1050 Ti, I think, built into it. It's a couple years old now. You know, seventh generation Intel chips. It's got the main thing, the great thing about this one, and one of the main reasons I bought it, is a little more expensive than your average laptop when you buy it, but it's highly upgradable. So it can kind of, not exactly future-proof, but it can get better as we go along. Because one of the things in this laptop is I've put 32 gigs of RAM in it over the last couple years. And RAM, again, that's one of those things you can find it on sale every so often. Newegg will have a deal online where you can use a code. Best Buy sometimes will have this stuff online that you can get it on sale. Amazon, a lot of times, you can find deals on there from time to time. And so bumping it up to 32 gigs of RAM... and then I added an M.2 SSD drive to it. And so, you know, you can beef it up, add some extra space, that's some high-speed stuff, makes it a very good workhouse computer. But because it is meant to be a gaming laptop, it's a thicker laptop. It weighs several pounds. It's, you know, folded together. It's still, you know, as thick as a textbook. It's big because it's 15-inch, so it's not one that you, like, carry around every day. For the longest time, for almost, I don't know, a year and a half, whatever, this just sat on my desk. Just had a cooling pad at an angle, and I set it there and just left it. And it did not move from there for a couple years. Now that, you know, I'm recording the show up here, I am moving it around a little bit more. But it's still not the type of thing that you're just going to, you know, sit down in front of you when you're watching TV and use for your everyday tasks. It's still big. It's still heavy. So this little guy is just the perfect thing to take with you and to travel with you. You know, it's light, big, good-looking screen, lots of battery life, can handle just about everything that you throw at it. Again, not meant for gaming, but simple stuff. Minecraft, Roblox. If you're looking for something for a kid, a student, you know, maybe you've got a teenager in high school, you want to get them something they can play a couple things on, but nothing really great. You know, maybe a 10, 12 year old, you want to give them something. $300, it'll last several years. It's a good all-purpose laptop. If you want a laptop that's going to be cheaper than $300 and you're going to want it to play Fortnite, you know, something like that, I'm guessing these are a lot of younger people sending me these comments. I don't know a lot of 50-year-olds that are worrying about gaming Fortnite on a cheap laptop, but then you're going to have to start looking at pawn shops. You're going to have to start looking at Facebook Marketplace, places like that. There are good deals to be had in those types of places. And you can, you know, find just people who bought a laptop and they don't, you know, they don't really use it like they should, or they inherited another one. They just want to get rid of something, whatever. You can find some pretty good deals if you're willing to look around at some of those different places. You don't have to worry that everybody's trying to sell you a lemon online. Obviously, buyer beware in some of these situations. Pull it out, take a look at it, you know, use it a little bit before you pay the person for it. But generally speaking, that's where you're going to have to go if you want to spend $100 or $200 and find something that you're going to do some gaming on, because it's not going to be in the store. You might check some of the local repair shops. A fair amount of the laptops I've had over the years I got because I worked at a store where we fixed computers, and a lot of times people would drop off their computer, you'd do work on it, and it would sit there for 6 months, or it might sit there for 8 months. And eventually you just get to a point where it's like, okay, well, the person never came, they never paid for it, so now the store owns it, and then the owner will make you a deal on a decent laptop because he wants to recoup his money. He'll sell it, you know, kind of cheap. So you might check local repair shops to see if they have something laying around you might be able to get a good deal on. So those are some good bets. Also, Best Buy, places like that, Target sometimes, they do have open box specials. So sometimes you can find something where someone bought it, brought it home, they realized maybe it was too much laptop for them and they really couldn't justify the price for it and whatever, and they switched to something cheaper, or sometimes they bought something kind of middle of the road and they realized they wanted something higher. A thing that we've had at our local Best Buy, I used to work at our local Best Buy for a while, people who had Macintosh computers when they were in college, they look at the price of it, and they go, there's no way I'm paying $1,400 for it. So they go and they buy a $400 Windows laptop. They're like, wow, this is $1,000 cheaper than the MacBook Pro I had. And then they use it and they go, wow, this isn't as good as my MacBook Pro. Well, of course not. It's $1,000 cheaper. But then they go, they take it back, they return it to the store, and they end up buying another Mac because that's what they're comfortable with. Or they buy a more expensive computer. They realize, maybe I should get a Surface Pro laptop, you know, if I'm going to go Windows. So then they buy something more expensive. So then Best Buy has this $300, $400 laptop sitting around. They might knock off $100, you know, if you can talk to the manager. Sometimes you can deal a little bit, drop the price on it because it's an open box item. They have them in a, you know, like a glass display case over in the electronics area. Talk to somebody. Sometimes you can get a good deal on that. Or even, I've had luck with this before. I've gone to Office Depot. Look at the laptops. They're sold out except for the display unit. It's a fairly new laptop, you know, might only be a couple months old. But you're like, hey, I'd like to buy this, but I don't see you have any in stock. A lot of times they will sell you the display unit at a discount. And that's a way that you can get something a little cheaper too. Doesn't always work. Sometimes they're like, well, just order it online and we'll ship it to you. But sometimes you find the right guy, you find the right manager, whoever you talk to them, they're willing to cut the price right there and sell you the one that's on display. And if it's fairly new, you know, if it hasn't been sitting there for 2 years and it's missing keys and stuff like that, obviously that's not the one you want. But some of them, you know, it sits there for a month or two, they get sold out because of whatever sale you want to buy it, and they'll even knock off price from the sale price. That's a way that you can get a bargain laptop. So you know, I bring this up because I get a lot of feedback on that video, people asking about laptops. So there's some information. You want a good, decent laptop, brand new, out of the box, get the Swift. You want a good gaming computer that you can build onto and grow with. Dell has a good line with the Inspiron. I think they call them like the G3. 7000 series, something like that, that you can, you know, bolster with more RAM and better hard drives and stuff as you get more money and build it up, that type of thing. But really, if you want those deals, you're going to have to find a place that you can wheel and deal, pawn shops, secondhand shops, you know, repair shops, Facebook Marketplace, things like that are where you're going to go, because you're not going to spend $100 on a brand new laptop, buying it off of Amazon, and get this amazing gaming computer that you're going to be playing, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 on, you know, all Christmas break. So, plenty of deals to be had, good stuff to be out there. Just do a little research while you're looking around. Okay, we're going to do, I think we're going to go ahead and do the comics real quick. Let's see here. Let's do the comics here real quick. And I'm going to do them real quick because I don't think there's a whole lot I'm really excited about this week. This 20XX, this is one of the Luna brothers doing it. That's one thing I don't know. I'm kind of interested, but at the same time, I'm not really sure. I want to, and you know, I've got, this is the thing. Image is nice enough to send me PDFs of their books in advance. I can read it. I can download a copy of it right now, read it digitally. I just haven't had time with the travel and the holiday and everything like that. But generally speaking, I like the Luna Brothers and a lot of the stuff they do. But I'm just kind of unsure nowadays. Some of these books, the last one they did, well, I think it was Jonathan Luna, right? Yeah, this one, Jonathan Luna. I liked, Alex and Ada. I liked that one a lot. But the other one he did, the Empire, was it just called Empire? I forget what it was called. It was okay. Wasn't great. And so now I'm just kind of wondering, I don't know. But I'll look into that one a little bit more. We do have Spawn continuing its record-setting run there. Let's see, Dark Horse. Nothing there really catching my eye. IDW. No. I know Shredder in Hell. That's actually been selling better at my local comic shop than the regular Turtles book. Ragnarok is actually a pretty cool series, but I'm behind on it. Napoleon Dynamite. This just felt bad to me. Like the animated series type thing. Not great. Batman, almost over. Tom King's run is almost over. This, I know a lot of people like to argue about Tom King and his run on Batman, and some people say it's great and they love it. And that's, hey, if you love Tom King's run on Batman, I'm happy for you. Then you've got books you enjoy. Tom King's run on Batman has not been great. He's had, you know, kind of these artificial lifts every so often with, you know, the wedding that happened or was supposed to happen in Batman 50. Some of the stuff like, you know, Alfred has apparently been killed now. Not a spoiler. Shouldn't be a spoiler because it's been all over everywhere. Nonetheless, Tom King has lost 20,000 sales, 20,000 units per copy over the last couple of years. It is a book in decline. He's getting ready. He's got like one more issue and then he's off the series and he's going to do his Catwoman Batman miniseries off on his own, separate. And the main Batman book, it's James Tynion IV, who's an okay writer. Not somebody I get excited about for anything they've ever written, but, you know, generally it's not as bad as what Tom King has been doing, because Tom King has been losing readers. And people can say, well, you know, he's getting all these awards and these accolades. Hey, I liked his run early on. I liked his run on other books. But as it's gone on, I have not been a fan of the run, and I'm so happy it's almost over. So 84 and then 85, I think, will be his last, and I can't wait for that to be done. We are getting this facsimile edition reprint, Crisis on Infinite Earths 8, and I'm looking forward to that. The facsimile editions, those are the ones that have all the ads built in, the letter pages, all that stuff. It's not like the dollar reprints where you're just getting the story and nothing else, you know, in a thin little reprint. The facsimile editions are cover to cover exactly what was sold on the stands back then, although generally now, you know, the better paper, the higher quality, you're paying the $4 for a copy of it compared to the newsprint that it was on before. But I really enjoy seeing all the ads and everything else that goes into them. And then plus, this is the death of the Flash, which of course he didn't stay dead, but whoever does in comics. Even Uncle Ben eventually came back. We got the new Justice League, Inferior Five. I like both of these series. Inferior Five is just this weird invasion-based storyline. If you ever read, Tom McFarlane did a lot of the artwork for Invasion for DC Comics before he went to Marvel. So there's a footnote in history there. This follows up on that old series in the old continuity, I think. But I think maybe it's also kind of folded into the modern continuity and they just kind of ignore how. I don't know if that's something from Doomsday Clock that was, you know, supposed to have finished by now and explain how exactly that worked, but I don't know. Regardless, there's that. And then we've got Justice League. In general, I've been enjoying the story. It has its ups and downs as you go along, but it's been okay. Pretty good. This Lois Lane series has been terrible, and I am done reading that. This New Year's Evil. What is it? Oh, okay. This is the one-shot bunch of villains in a special book. This is not anything I'm too excited for. Over on the Marvel side, let's see, what do we got here? Annihilation Scourge, no. Black Cat, no. Conan, no. Daredevil. I liked Daredevil for a while, but I kind of got tired of it. Didn't really feel like it went anywhere. Doctor Doom's been interesting. That's been an interesting series. There's some sort of, he sees the future, but it's not his future, and he found out he's supposed to die and not be in the timeline anymore, so this alternate future where he runs the world and everything's like this utopia he doesn't understand, and then he gets framed for the destruction of a moon base, so he turns himself in, but now, in the last issue, he died, and now he's going to hell, and he's going to be dealing with Mephisto. And it's you know, just kind of weird, crazy, but interesting. And there's enough story in each issue, I feel like I'm getting entertained. Something I've complained about a lot with modern comics is there's not a lot of story in the books. I feel like the Doom series has a decent amount of story stuff going on. Interesting. Kang the Conqueror popping in and out of time randomly here and there. That is fun. Ooh, Star Wars 1 facsimile. Here's another facsimile. That would be a fun one to grab. Look at some of that stuff. Thor Worthy number 1. I am not necessarily looking forward to this, but I know a lot of people are. I might, because I know Beta Ray Bill is going to be in this book, and I am a fan of Beta Ray Bill. But Thor books... I was having a conversation with someone recently about Thor and about how they changed for a while and they had Jane Foster as Thor, but you didn't know it was her. You just knew it was a female. And then you had Odin's son, who was unworthy, who was out running his own storylines. Whenever I travel, I always stop at comic book shops along the way. Going to Southern Illinois, it's tough. There aren't really a whole lot down there. There's one in... what's the town? Home of the White Squirrels. I can't think of the name of the town. Small town. It's not Odin. I can't think of the name. But anyway, small town has a little store. It's more of a role-playing game shop, but they have some comics there. But there's not really a whole lot there. You go over to Indiana, across the border, you drive for 45 minutes, and you go to Evansville, Indiana. There's shops all over the place. You go up to Vincennes, Indiana, there's a couple shops there. So anytime I travel, I try to go to a comic book shop. And a lot of times I talk to the owners. When we drove to Florida, went to several shops in all the states that we were driving through. Drives my wife nuts. We went to Ohio, did the same thing. We had to stop in Indiana. We had to stop in places in Ohio. Always going to shops. I usually gauge the person sitting at the counter. Are they... are they just someone who's working there, like filling the seat and taking the money for a couple hours? Maybe they like to read comics, they were a good customer, and the owner just wanted some time off. Or is the person there the actual owner / manager of the store? You talk to them a little bit. I talk about how I've worked at several stores over the years. And once you start talking to them, you can ask them about some of the stuff. And Thor is something I talked to a lot of store owners about a couple years ago, because when the Jane Foster stuff was going on, you didn't know it was her, you just knew it was this other Thor. One store in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in 8 states, one store was excited about the new character. They were excited about that Thor. They were happy for that Thor. They just thought, wow, this is a really interesting story, and it was selling well. Their customers seemed to really enjoy it. That was one store in 8 states. Every other store I went to, you know, almost a dozen shops. I'm not sure exactly offhand how many there were, but you know, almost a dozen shops in 8 states. They all said the same thing, that either the sales were way down, or the people buying it were longtime readers that had been reading ever since, you know, the Walt Simonson days or earlier, and they were just buying it because they didn't want to have a gap in their collection, but they couldn't wait until it was over. I find it amusing that we're getting this one shot, and it's Thor Worthy, the Worthy, number one. And this is to attract some of those readers back. And I know Thor has been back to being Odin's son for a while. You know, once you lose readers, it's hard to bring them back in. You have to do something to catch their attention, to catch their eye. And the whole point that they're doing this Thor the Worthy, is a very clear indicator that unworthy Thor is dead and buried and long gone. Notice, however, though, this is another $4.99 special. Marvel is going to get a little boost in their sales because they're charging an extra dollar for this book. That's something, if you look at the sales of comics over the last several months, from time to time you'll see something like sales are up 3% from this point last year. And you think, oh, well, that's great, but it's up in dollars. And it's up in dollars because they're charging more money. When they do you know, Action Comics 1000, Marvel 1000, Detective 1000, you know, they do all that stuff. They did The Amazing Spider-Man 900. Those books are $7.99, $9.99. A lot of times, lots of variants, and people pick up multiple copies to get different variants. And so sales are up, you know, a couple percentage points in dollars, not units. Units are consistently going down. Pretty horribly in the comic market. So, all right, so there's that. Let's see what else we got. We got some, True Believers. Now, these are the cheap $1 reprints. We got an old Conan. We got Droids. We got Star Wars. We got another Star Wars. We got another Star Wars. We got another Star Wars. Of course, the Marvel Star Wars series is going to be ending soon, and then relaunching in January. So there's that. Venom, of course, big seller. Lots of stuff going on there. Black Widow, I've heard, is selling a little better than people expected, but I'm not sure if that's good or it's just better than they expected. X-Men number 3, though, that although those have been going down pretty quick, too. So it'll be interesting to see what the actual sales are on something like that. Going into Dynamite here, Elvira, James Bond, new James Bond number 1, huh? New series, new team, nah. I don't know. That looks like Tony Stark. This totally looks like a Marvel Tony Stark book. Jim Chung. That's why. All right. Well, I don't know. The problem with the James Bond books is Dynamite really dropped the ball. They had a lot of people interested early on, especially when they went to Origin. That really kind of killed a lot of the momentum. There's a guy at Killen's Comics, a customer, gets all the James Bond stuff. Anything James Bond. He gets the magazines, like the $9.99. Anytime there's something like a Retro Fan or whatever. Some of those movie ones that are James Bond inspired or James Bond focused. You know, he always grabs those. He gets all the comics. Except James Bond Origin. He read like the first 2 issues of that and he's like, I'm done. I'm not reading this. This is stupid. He hated that. And the sales on a lot of those James Bond books have dropped. Again, they tried to do a lot of stuff. So they threw in some specials and whatever. And they really didn't do what they needed, I think, to really develop and anchor the character. And even though you know it's going to be different from the movies and it's not going to be the same universe, they really should have built the universe better than what they did. they made it very random, very generic missions, and it just didn't do, I think, what they thought. Red Sonja, we got Vengeance of Vampirella, which does not sell very well at all. We got Boom, we've got Buffy, and their Hellmouth thing, I think, is still continuing here with Angel. Boom is another one of those that has fallen. You know, my daughter likes Over the Garden Wall. My son just found out, he went with me to the store. A lot of times he doesn't go with me. He just likes to stay home. He doesn't like to go out and do stuff. Went with me to the store. I grabbed Over the Garden Wall for my daughter. And he's like, oh, they do Over the Garden Wall? And I go, yeah, Libby's been reading it for like 2 years. And he's like, I love that show. I didn't know they had a comic. Well, they do, buddy, and good luck getting those from her. So I may have to invest in some trades or try to see if I can find some back issues for him because they do not like to share. But Over the Garden Wall, that is still pretty good. Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As you can see, there's a lot of variants here. I have a feeling these variants will sell well. This first issue is probably going to do pretty good. It may not do too great after that. Power Rangers comics have really fallen. It's going to depend a lot on the strength of this. I think, if I remember correctly, these turtles are the new series. Not the cartoon, not the old Mirage Turtles. Not the Nickelodeon Turtles, but the regular ones that you have in comics nowadays, along with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the classic Power Rangers that most of us remember from the mid-90s. So I know the issue one is going to sell pretty well. A lot of people want these sets of these four covers. And I admit, those are, you know, nice looking to see the turtle. There's Michelangelo with the red helmet there. They look nice. They're neat little collector's pieces. But whether or not the series maintains, that'll be interesting to see. Let's see. We've got AOC and the Freshman Force Squad. It's funny. There was Devil's Due did one of those AOC comics, and it hit the liquidation list on Diamond. Apparently, they had lots of copies left over that hadn't sold. They thought it was going to be a much bigger deal. A book like this is, you know, in the works for a while before it finally comes out. And so, you know, some people get excited for this, and if that's you, well then congratulations. But for the most part, yeah, these are going to end up in liquidation, I'm sure, down the line. We've got Archie and Predator, which I don't even know. Kind of thought maybe at one point that might be interesting to see, but I don't care enough to really look into it. Belladonna, all of these covers that you see here, they say Image coming soon. The Image is never going to be on there. These are the adult comics that are coming out from Boundless, which is part of Avatar Comics in Champaign, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half, I think, east of here, is where they're headquartered. And the way that they stay in business is every comic that comes out has like 10 covers. And like three of them are very cheesecake, and the other like seven or eight or whatever are X-rated, and that's how they stay in business. That's how they make their money. Cave Woman, that's another one that's very similar. Does those adult covers? We've got Crossed Badlands. I see. These are old. Books, old variants that were available only at certain locations coming out. Feral's Grim Fairy Tales. Grim Fairy Tales was a decent series at one point before the last series ended. When they were getting up to in the hundreds, I think they were. It became more like the Claremont X-Men, where they were running the school and kids had these magical powers and they were learning how to use them, and it was interesting. It really did feel like that old Claremont X-Men type stuff. And then they rebooted and it went just kind of back to being, I have this book and there's demons and we go into these different universes, and it lost me. Let's see. We got Lady Death. Another one. Lady Death. Oh my gosh. Brian Peluto. He's living off of this book, and he does it with all these variants and specials and Kickstarters and going to conventions. pimping himself out. Super nice guy. Super nice guy. If you ever get a chance to talk to him, talk to him. He is super good. Minions for the Kids. There's a lot of books on here. I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if all of these are really coming out, or if maybe some of these are going to get delayed. Psylords from Valiant, which I don't know anybody who reads that. That seemed to be pretty dead on arrival. The Ravening number one. Here you can see this is from Boundless Comics. You've got covers where the clothes kind of disappear a little more from cover to cover, and then some that they can't even show. Sherlock, Stabbity Bunny, Tarot, that's another. Cheesecake, Unholy Agents, Web Witch. Yeah, those are books. Vampronica. No, I don't know anybody who reads those. War Goddess, again. And then Web Witch. Yeah, so a lot of variants and stuff coming from Boundless. A lot of those adult covers and things like that. This is, I guess, apparently the week for those to come out. But, I mean, as far as actual comics coming out, I'm more interested in the reprints, the facsimile editions, and those True Believers dollar things than a lot of the new stuff that's coming out this week. All right. So, let's have some toy time. Let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about some toys. Now, this is the Masterpiece Soundwave. I love this Masterpiece Soundwave because it turns into the small cassette player. It doesn't have the giant thing sticking out the front. He doesn't turn into a ship. He doesn't turn into a boat. He doesn't turn into an airplane. He turns back into the radio player that I like. There's a lot of small details, all these little ports and things, little knobs and memory card readers and things like that that you would expect to see. Spot to plug in headphones, even though this doesn't actually play music or anything like that. It's a nice looking thing, and everything for Soundwave is all incorporated into this. So, like, for instance, his guns that have the shiny silver parts that come out, those fold into the what are essentially the batteries, but into the back of this, they fold in, and everything is encompassed within. This comes with, it's not Laserbeak, right? Because Laserbeak is red. This is the yellow one, which is it Frenzy? Buzzsaw. All right, so Buzzsaw is the yellow one. But this is another one, like the guns that would fit on the back. You know, if you remember on these classic style ones, you had these silver pieces, these accessories that fit on the back. Here they're built in to the design of the microcassette. So those guns that would normally be pieces that you'd have to find a way to store, they actually just fold down into the design of the microcassette, and everything is accounted for in there. So it's a really good design. The thing is, it just takes a while to transform. I think it looks really good when it's done. But it's not one of those that you're going to be switching back and forth, because it does take a while. Yes, I am someone who plays with them from time to time, but it's a good-looking piece. I like having it, but my original, this is the one I got for my... Whew. Man, when was it? This was probably, I want to say 85, right? So I was 9? Maybe I was 8 or 9, I think, when I got this. Still have it. Still have my original. Some of the joints are a little loose when you move it around. It doesn't quite lock as well as it used to because it's been worn out. Doesn't grip as well as it used to, but this is my original. I love the design of this guy. He's big. He's boxy. As a robot, he looks... he looks intimidating, you know, in the size of a robot. And one of the things that I thought was always neat with this, which, you know, this, you know, refined and made even better, but even though here, if you take a look at his gun, the rocket that shoots out, you got to find a place to store this, but the rocket itself is a AA battery. So you can see how it's got the little nub there on top. It's about the same size and shape as a AA battery. And this compartment on his back opens and the two go in there and become the AA batteries that run it as a cassette player when it's in cassette player mode. And the transformation is very simple and quick and easy to do. Of course, mine's a little finicky over the years. I don't like to force it too much because I don't want the plastic to snap, because again, I've had this almost my entire life. But you just simply turn the head, you flip the arms, you slide the hands up into the arms there, and then you flip the feet and bring up the legs. Oof, again, it gets a little tough because it's old, but nonetheless, there it is. There's the cassette player, the G1 original that I've had for so long. So when you compare the two, you can see that obviously, yes, it's the Masterpiece is a much nicer version of this one. And even the backs, you can see they you know, they're similar in the way that they transform. Not 100% the same, but the Masterpiece does a good job incorporating everything, but this is the classic one I grew up on. And here's my original missing a head there. Anyway, all right. So there is that. And love this toy. Had it forever. So when I saw that there's a new one in the recreation of the original packaging, has the stats thing on the back. I used to cut all of these out and keep them, just like on the back of G.I. Joe's when they had all of those on there. I love the, it's got the old school artwork there on the back with Optimus Prime with those weird bug eyes. Not sure what that was about, but I love this figure. I had to get it, and so of course I bought the cassettes that go with it. As a kid, I only ever had this set with Laserbeak and Frenzy. I never had this set with Ravage and Rumble. I never had Ravage growing up as a kid, and I knew lots of friends who had him, and of course he was in the cartoon, but I didn't have him. Rumble and Ravage were in the cartoon all the time, and so I always wanted them as a kid. I was never able to get them, and so I had to buy them now that I'm an adult, and I make my own monies, and they're available, then I needed to do it. Man, I almost hate to open it, you know, in a way, because I love the look of it and the feel, and like I said, I've had this sitting for months without opening it, but we're going to do it. Of course, I did not bring a knife. I'm going to use the old school missile here to cut the tape. Let's open up the box. And now, as I remember, as a kid, I believe these missiles were on a sprue along with these weapons. I believe so. They were, you had to punch them out yourself, or you know what I usually did was just twist them around until they broke off. I don't think they were loose in the package like this. And of course, they didn't have these rubber bands on here to hold them in place. And I think maybe the box was a little smaller. Not 100% sure, but okay. So here's Buzzsaw. And you know, Buzzsaw, the classic way that these cassettes, you know, you pull out the head. Oh, man, this one's kind of stuck. You pull it out and pop it up. You swing out these wings, flip the feet down. There is your bird. And then, of course, the bird has weapons. Unlike the Masterpiece that's built in, these you have to stick on yourself, but they fit in the cassette holes in order to hold them into place. And boom, fully outfitted, ready to go. I lost these almost immediately with my original guy back in the days, but there we go. That is, yep, that's what it looks like. That's a bucket. All right, so now we've got three missiles, so of course you lose one, you can replace them, but we do have the two guns here. We have one that does not telescope, and it has, you can see, it's supposed to be like a multiple missile launcher type thing, if I can get it to focus in there. That's the one that sits on a shoulder. And then you have this other one that does telescope. So it becomes longer. It becomes the rifle that he holds in his hand. You can put the missile in there and press the button, and it launches out. This one, I believe you can put one in, but it won't launch. There's no actual spring mechanism. It's just for show, whereas this one is spring-loaded and will shoot out. But here is Soundwave himself. He's got these... They put the plastic ties on him, and then they put tape all over the back to make it hard to get to him. I guess that's for anti-theft, because it's using just the simple cardboard box. It's very easy to rip one of these open, so I guess they wanted to make it a little more difficult to get the toy inside out of there. So if we rip off this tape here... And I'm not going to destroy this package or anything, because I probably will put it back in the show since I have my original. Having one, still complete with the box and everything, I will leave that alone in there. But I hate these plastic bands. These are often tough to get out of, get off of the toy. And these are double bands, so it looks like there's two bands on each side. Can I split them? Yeah, you can split. You can see there's two, but it's actually going to one piece. So there's two strands coming off. I guess to make it doubly thick, doubly powerful on there. And normally you can just kind of slide it back through the hole they're sticking out if you don't want to sit there and fight with it. There you go. And pull one out. Let's see if I can get the other one through there. Through the hole where it's sticking into the plastic. And you can, not that I'm going to reinsert it in there, but that way I'm just not struggling with fighting, trying to pull it out and looking excessively weak and unmanly on YouTube. So here is our Soundwave, our little cassette player. And just like on the original, back opens up, and here's a spot in here, although I can see there's more stuff on the inside, I think, than the other one. So copyright, information, whatever. But again, you can take the guns, you put them in as if they are batteries on the inside, and they sit inside there, and put the lid on it. And there you go. They are tucked away safely. You're not going to lose them. But looking at this, I can tell right away there are... Well, I can see one difference, right? From the get-go. So here they are side by side. This is the classic original. This is the new one. Now obviously there are... more stickers to put on. You put the stickers on yourself to give it the extra look, like the red here, and I think, oh, stripes around his wrist, you put those on yourself, things like that. But the eject mechanism is different. Now if we look at the artwork real quick, it has the same writing, it looks like it's in the same font, but the colors on the new one are a little darker. Maybe that's a faded issue. It's just the artwork has faded, or the color has faded over the years, perhaps. But it is a little darker. And I know they want to change it a little bit to make it easier, so people aren't scamming, toy stores and scamming, places where you get toys graded. So they do change things a little bit. But the eject mechanism here on the original, you press down, and the door should open, but of course it's kind of spring-loaded, and over the years those springs have gone out. And that's, I remember that's a big deal with a lot of them, where the spring just doesn't work after a few years on them. So I was always happy that mine still worked, but you would close it up, and pressing down would move that spring so then it would open up. And you can get your, your cassette out. But I've noticed on the new one, if I can get this back in here, the new one, the eject mechanism has extra arms. So if I can, you can see this little piece of black sticking up there that goes into the arm of this. So instead of it being a hinge directly onto the blue plastic, like that cassette door, this one, if I can get it to focus, you can see there's a little extra. You can see this round black piece here. And for those of you listening to the podcast, to the audio only version, I apologize. You're not getting a whole lot out of this conversation right now. I get that. So, you know, just trying to explain here, the buttons on the front of Soundwave, where it has the play, the stop, the fast forward, the pause, those across his chest. On the old one, they're a lot flatter. They're a lot nearer to the surface. Don't stick out very far at all. On the new one, they stick out a lot farther, and that's because they've redone this eject mechanism. So that their extra arms sticking out from those buttons that attach to the screen that sit flush normally with the front of the device, they're cut to match the same cut, even though the coloring's a little different. You can see these two lines going up from the buttons into the screen where the cassette is, but it helps to make the hinge here, I guess, a little bigger. It's a little stronger. It goes a little deeper. Okay, well, there's a sound bite for somebody. But the hinge being built that way looks like it makes it more... It makes it a wider eject. Your point of motion for opening the door, instead of it being right at the bottom where the cassette door is, it's down an extra... I mean, what is that? Centimeter? Centimeter and a fourth? Which just allows it to open up that much more. So it just makes it a little bit wider. I'm curious, though. I'm going to take this buzzsaw. I'm going to take his weapons off of his back. And I'm going to transform him back into the cassette mode. And if I put it in there... Okay, so it's still made for a single cassette to go in and then close up. On the, what was it, the 20th anniversary reissue, and they reused it several times after that, they made the cassette compartment double thick, so you could put two cassettes in there to keep them safe within the system, but then, of course, it stuck out farther. People did make inserts that you could put in where it looked like an Energon cube powering up in there to fill up that extra space. But nonetheless, once they have their cassettes inside, that you can see here that the cassettes are cut the same way, stickers are cut the same way, the look is, you know, almost identical. Really, the difference is just that eject mechanism. Now, on the original one, the classic one, you did have these buttons on the side that could move. This could switch and you had a dial, but of course they get tough to work with over the years. On this new one, fresh out of the box, this dial on the side just spins no problem, and this switch is going up and down no problem. So let's go ahead and transform him and bring this out. Oh boy, whew. This is stiff. A lot more tension. The feet are actually metal. I was afraid that they might switch out plastic ones for that, but nope, they are still metal, just like the old ones, which is good because it gives it extra weight. So when it's standing and it has those metal feet, they have more weight to it, and it helps to maintain the balance of the figure so it doesn't fall over. But the transformation looks to be, you know, identical, 100% identical. Although, you know, okay, so here he is transformed, looks the same, but I see ratcheting in his elbows. I don't remember that being in this classic one, in my G1. So let's open this up real quick, transform him back for comparison's sake. I'm not going to transform the Masterpiece one because we don't have the time for that. But let's bring out, if we look, the elbow joints on the new one, I've noticed, oh no, the classic one does have that. I've never noticed that on there before. Classic one has, and they just recreated it on here, exactly the same, but I never paid attention to that before. But there are, I don't know if this is going to show up on camera either, but there are cutouts. You can kind of see in the silver how it's cut, and they're in little notches. And they're blue, on the blue part of the arm, there's a little pin that sticks out, and they do ratchet to stick into place as you move the arm to make the elbow stick, which I, like I said, I never noticed that before. That is cool. That is something. So now I'm looking at the artwork. The stickers do look a little different. They're not 100% the same. Again, the coloring is different. It is darker on the new one. On the legs, on the classic one, they're more of a turquoise blue right above his feet. I guess right below the knee, because the knee has a red sticker on it on the classic. I haven't put the sticker on the new one, but right beneath you can see that that's a blue, more of a dark blue than a turquoise on the original. And the shoulders, it's the same design, but the shoulders have red stripes that go up the side, and they've got yellow squares, and I don't know if I can get these to show up on camera, hold them up too close, but they're the size of the squares and the size of the lines are a little different. So they're just a little thicker and bigger, I guess because the printing quality is better, they can do that on the new one, whereas on the old one, the lines were a little thicker. Maybe they couldn't do as fine a detail on those. But you can see that they've kept the spirit of the original one alive, but it is somewhat different. And I'm noticing one other change. When you look at the hands on the original are solid as they go into the arm. On the new one, they're hollow. So you can see they've cut out some of the... No, wait, this one. I'm trying to look at the screen and the camera. Okay, so you can see that it's cut out in there. It's hollow. It's one of those things that Hasbro's been doing a lot for the past 10 years. They look for hollow spaces they can cut out some of that plastic so they're using less, so it costs less. I don't know, maybe it's better for the environment. I don't know. But otherwise, a lot of it, the color of the paint is just a little different, like on the eyes, but otherwise the sculpt of the face looks to be the same, things like that. So for the most part, this reissue, it's not 100% perfect, of course, to the original, and you don't really want that in a collector's market, because then people will pull these out and claim that they're the originals, maybe put some original accessories with it, maybe wear it down a little bit so it looks a little more used, but then go, hey, look, I've got this classic one that's in terrific shape. So they do change a little bit here and there just to make it apparent that it's a little different, so people aren't going to be passing it off as a classic toy. But it is stunningly similar. Near identical. So now here's the little packet that comes with it. It does have the little sheet of stickers, so there are additional stickers to go on the side of the player, to go on his wrists, to go on his knees, and to go around his weapons. I believe that's it. Oh, and then the number count on his chest. There's a little counter that has 10. It's a sticker that you put on the classic one. On the new one, it has a spot where it's molded, but they do have the sticker on here that you can throw on top of that to make it look, again, like the original. Our little booklet here, Decepticon Communicator Soundwave. It just has the instructions, and the instructions are very basic as being a G1 Transformer. Very easy to follow. You can see how it is. On the back, it shows you how to eject the tape, put the gun on his shoulder, gun in his hand. It has a photograph of what it looks like, shows how to do buzzsaw, and then again, how to put the stickers on. So, again, very classic way of doing the instructions, very easy transformation. And they don't... Yeah, they have the instructions on the box using the photograph, so you can see what it looks like. And I remember looking at those when, you know, being in the store, but this goes back to the classic illustration showing you how to transform them. Now, for these cassettes, of course, all the instructions are on the back. I don't remember on the back of the original packages how they looked. Again, I almost hate to open these to take them out, but I really should. I can tell, though, by looking at the cassettes, they do have more things printed on them, printed on the plastic. So, for instance, if I show Frenzy here, you can see that on his blue shape, there's a lot more white printing stamped on there. And for different, you know, safety markers and maybe some trademark, whatever, part identification, those are on there as well. And Laserbeak here. That's interesting. Buzzsaw. So the difference with Buzzsaw and Laserbeak is that Buzzsaw had the gold chest, right? And Laserbeak had the red chest. I had this pack as a kid. I'd forgotten that over the years. My cassette in here, this is actually Laserbeak missing his head, is the cassette that I still have from the set. And I did have Frenzy. I remember having Frenzy, you know, as a child. So this actually is Laserbeak, as opposed to Buzzsaw. But again, looking at the stickers and everything, the fronts look nearly identical. There's no real distinguishing way to tell them apart. It's when you flip to the back that you can see the wing colors. Laserbeak is silver. Buzzsaw's wings are gold. And then Buzzsaw has the golden body, where Laserbeak has the red body. But otherwise, on the front, they look nearly identical. And I didn't realize after all these years, I'd lost my Buzzsaw, and this is actually Laserbeak without his head that I've had since I was a kid. All right, I don't want to open these cassettes. I like seeing them in the package, and I like having them with all the artwork and everything. I almost hate to rip them open. Never had Rumble and Ravage as a kid. But I did, years later, I bought a used, what was the rhinoceros? I can't remember. I think it was one of Blastar's cassettes. I had those. I'm not going to open these. You know what? I'm keeping these in the package. I'm not opening them. I don't need to. I'm not doing a full toy review. I'm just looking at toys and talking about toys. I don't need to do all that for this. And if you guys are upset about that, then you can buy me another set of those and I'll open up the other set. But I want to leave those in the package so that I can, because I'm going to put this new Soundwave, this new classic Soundwave, back in the package so that I have one nice in the box on display alongside my original that still exists. Yeah. Because then I also have the Masterpiece. And then I also have an off-brand, and then I have one with the double thick one from several years ago. Anyway, I love these reissues that they've been doing, but they did the big ones and then they stopped. They did a lot of the like the small ones, the Bumblebee and whoever. They did an Optimus Prime, but it was just the cab. Didn't have the trailer, I guess, to keep the price down. Otherwise, it would have been more expensive. I just couldn't bring myself to buy that one, though. I did buy the Hot Rod, or Rodimus, I guess they had to change the name to. I bought the Starscream. I bought that one. I just love having these G1 figures back. And it's just so nice. Look, son, now you have a brother. We've adopted. There's my thumbnail pic. Let me do that. Would you click on this thumbnail to watch this video? Probably not, but nonetheless, there it is. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I've wasted about an hour of your time, and that's probably good enough for everybody else. So anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening. I don't know if this is going to work or not. soundboard. Took a long time to play there. Boy, that was slow. I'm wondering if those are playing through the system, or if the microphone is catching them, or if it's both and it's being real echoey. I don't know. But that's fun, playing with some of the new stuff, my new setup. Someday, I should probably take a picture of this Castle Grayskull and show it to you the way I've got it set up for podcasting here. But nonetheless, that's going to do it for today's show. Again, I want to hear feedback from you guys. Send me more letters. Give me more questions. Leave comments on the Facebook group, on YouTube. Send me an email, dirt@thepopc.net or dirt@popculturenetwork.com. More than happy to hear your feedback. Talk about the things that you guys want to talk about. If you have questions about something, if you like Tom King's run on Batman and you want to call me an idiot, make sure you leave that comment down there. I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to hit the bell. I'm not going to ask you to share. All I'm going to ask is that you remember this one thing.
You're watching the best looking guy on the internet.